On death and dying, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? By Sheila Kopp at havinggod.com. What's the worst thing that could happen to us? Die. That is what we fear the most. Death. Dying. Leaving this world. All our fears can pretty much sum up to that. Getting sick. Ending up in the hospital. Accident of any kind, or car accident, getting killed, or someone crazy enough to kill us, ending up dead. You name it. When you die, it seems so final, so out of this world, so out of our control. And what happens then? Where are we going? Is there a life after death? Actually, death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Death, for those who die in the Lord, is the best thing and the greatest thing that can happen to them. It's being lost from the presence of God. That is the worst thing that can happen to you. There is a parable that Jesus talked about in the Bible about a poor man named Lazarus. He was a beggar at this rich man's gate, full of sores, and his soul's desire was to eat the crumbs that fell from this rich man's table. The dogs came to lick his wounds. One day, both the rich man and this beggar died. The beggar was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, whereas the rich man ended up in hell and in torment without any angels carrying him there. You can read about it in the book of Luke 16 verses 19 through 31. After he was in hell, this rich man talked with Abraham and asked him to send Lazarus to his five brothers that were still living. The rich man wanted Lazarus to warn his brothers not to end up where he is. But Abraham answered him and told him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Meaning, there is the law in the Bible, the Word of God. We can turn to it for direction, for salvation, and for making our way to the presence of God and not ending up lost. But the rich man was insistent, and he said to Abraham, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." But Abraham told him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Essentially, the decision for salvation lies in our power. It is up to us whether we want to repent and be saved, or be arrogant about it and be lost. You see right there in this scene that the worst thing that can happen to you is not dying, but rather ending up lost in hell and in eternal damnation. I don't think this story is purely symbolic either. It's obvious Jesus is showing us that there is life after death, and that we need to think about how we live this life, because there are consequences to all of our actions. If you say you don't believe there's a hell, I would rethink this belief. I would rather make sure of this scripture. Would Jesus lie to us about this scene? Jesus, who is the God of truth, and there is no lie with him. Would he tell us about this scene just to tease us and to make us think a philosophical thought about the life after? I don't think so. Ask him to show you why there is hell. I'm sure he will show you as he has shown me. If you truly want to know the truth, I would ask him. Rather than just taking the chance that maybe there is or maybe there isn't, I wouldn't take a chance about this. I would ask him if I were you. And remember, Jesus himself told us many, many times about hell in the Bible. See Matthew 5, verse 22, verses 29 through 30, chapter 10, verse 28, chapter 11, verse 23, chapter 16, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 9, chapter 23, verse 33, Mark 9, verse 43, 45, 47, Luke 10, verse 15, chapter 12, verse 5. The book of Revelation also tells us that there is hell. There is a great judgment that is coming. And if we're not repentant and saved, we are going to be lost forever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Like I said, death is not the worst thing that can happen to us who know the Lord. It is actually the best thing, if not the greatest thing that can happen to us. Why? It's because death for us is life everlasting with Jesus Christ and being wrapped forever in His presence. It's getting out of this fallen, sin-filled world where evil and darkness fills the earth. We cry for loved ones that die, but if you know or can even imagine where they must be right at this moment, you would try not to cry for them. You would be happy for them. You would stop crying. Instead, you would wish you could be with them so you can get away from this world that is laden with sin and sorrow and devils. I remember starting to weep at the burial site when my aunt was getting buried about 3 years ago, when all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me so clearly in my heart and told me, "Rejoice, rejoice, do not mourn. She is out of here. She is saved." He was showing me I should be happy for her because she got out of here, away from this horrible and terrible place where sin and devils are, and she is saved in heaven now with Him. The Lord did not want me to mourn. Rather, He wanted me to rejoice for her, be happy for her that she made it out of here saved. There is nothing in this life worth losing heaven for. But we don't think that way. We think it's terrible to want to go to heaven because we're so afraid of death. We don't know what lies ahead, so we fear the unknown. But if we would just use our imagination and our faith in the love of God, we will come to see dying through God's eyes. We wouldn't be afraid of it. We wouldn't mourn so badly for the loss of our loved ones. Actually, Jesus told me recently, "Don't call it loss. You did not lose your loved one. She is with me." Loss, I came to understand through the eyes of the Lord, is when one is lost from His presence or who ended up in hell or damnation. But if they ended up saved with Him, then they are not lost. And when our loved one is with Jesus, it's not loss, it's gain. We did not lose them. We've gained them because we will see each other again very soon and will be with them forever and ever. Loss only truly applies to those that aren't with Jesus. And besides, when you are connected with the Lord, you are also connected with your loved ones. You can see them anytime. Just ask Him to show them to you, or you can send them a message through the Lord. I can tell the Lord right now to tell my aunts and my grandparents hello for me. I can send them messages through him. Because with God, heaven and earth are the same to him. By the way, don't try connecting with your loved ones through other means, like a medium or a spiritualist. They might be accessing a spirit, but it's definitely not God. If they're not talking to God to access your loved ones, they are talking to spirits that are not of God. Hence, devils, evil spirits. You want nothing to do with these because they can end up entering your body and filling your soul with their spirit and dominating your will. You will become very miserable indeed. The Bible warned us about this. We are not to do this. See Leviticus 19, verse 31. If you want to talk to your loved one who is no longer here, you don't need to talk to a medium or a spiritualist or even to anyone that is spiritual. Just talk directly to God and give him your message. He's the one who owns all souls, not the devils. He will give your message to them. Or better yet, he will send them to you through a dream or a vision, and they will directly talk to you. The Bible tells us that heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. Acts 7, verse 49. In essence, the earth is part of God's living room. There is no difference to him whether you're in heaven or you're in earth. Actually, even if you end up in hell, God is there too. That's what King David said in Psalm. He said to God, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Psalm 139, verse 8. There is not a place where God isn't. So the best thing to do is to always stay connected to him by talking to him all the time and loving him and thanking him so we don't have to worry about our death. Wherever we find ourselves, whether in hell, God forbid, on earth, or lost in a space somewhere between heaven and earth, if we know Jesus, we will be all right. All we have to do is call on him, repent of our sins, and we will be saved. Death is not really death to the Lord. To us, it is. We're so afraid of death. Death is just a way of getting souls out of this earth and placing them in their respective places where they belong. Dying is just taking a trip, a long trip, but short at the same time, because with God, heaven can just be a matter of seconds in our spirit. It's like doing a Back to the Future thing. We're here right now in the physical realm. In a minute, we're with him. And it's not final either. We will see each other again. It's just our loved ones have gone on a long trip to another world where their souls continue to live, but are now able to talk with God face to face. It is nothing to be afraid of. It's actually something we should look forward to. I remember crying over another loved one who passed away, and I was talking to him because I had asked the Lord to let me say goodbye to him. He had just died and was actually lying down right before me in the hospital bed. And when the Lord said to me to go ahead and talk to him, I felt this loved one's presence standing on the other side of the bed, like he was there in spirit. He was really there. It did not scare me, and I said goodbye to him. And when I did, I heard this loved one say to me in an audible voice, "Goodbye, Sheil." I laughed out loud because it made me so happy to hear his voice. But then I got so sad that he's gone. So I started weeping. Then I heard him talk to me in my mind and heard him clearly tell me, "What are you crying about? You'll soon be here." And I knew exactly what he meant, that him being gone will feel like only for a moment when my time comes. He will not be waiting long. It will feel to him like few minutes. When I go to see him someday, it will not feel like a lifetime. It will feel like only moments. Heaven is the greatest place you could ever find yourself in. Heaven is just another world that looks like earth, but with God in flesh and blood in it. You can touch God there. You can look into his eyes and not die. The Bible tells us it has a river, the tree of life, and the throne of God. There are legions upon legions of angels and the souls that died in the Lord from the beginning of the creation of the world. There are a lot of people there. The Lord also tells us that there are going to be mansions there. He's preparing them for us. The Bible also tells us that there is a city called the New Jerusalem. What's even more wonderful is that someday there will be a supper of the bridegroom with his bride. The church will be there. We, his people, we're going to be eating and drinking with him. Can you imagine that? It pretty much looks like earth, but so much more prettier and wonderful. It's filled with the light of God. That means it's just filled with love. Love, love everywhere you are. If you have felt the presence of God on this earth, even just for a moment, then you can imagine how wonderful that must be like, being in it 24/7, always and all the time, without end. I sure want to be there. I long to be there. Can you imagine not having to worry about going to work, dealing with your horrible boss, worrying about your children getting sick or getting into drugs and into trouble, worrying about life in general, not having to worry about the pandemic or the COVID vaccines, hurricanes, natural disasters, who is going to be the next president, who's going to drop the nuclear bomb, on and on and on, not having any fears at all. Not to mention, there are no devils and evil angels that roam this earth who have been destroying mankind left and right since the beginning of time. Just imagine being with God forever and forever, who loves you and gave his life for you. If you think living here on this earth has some beauty and benefits, imagine being in heaven where all your troubles and sorrow and miseries are gone. Not to mention, it will be so much more prettier than this world. Of course, heaven is the greatest place you'll ever want to be. So why worry about dying then, or death? Don't worry about it. Hand it to the Lord. Give your life to him and ask him to fill your life with his presence here on earth as much as he can, so that you live your life for his glory. That way, you won't have to worry about hell or being lost and being separated from him. That way, you will be where Jesus is, forever and ever. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 31. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11, verse 25. Prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Without you, Lord, I am nothing. I am lost. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your great love for me in this life. I thank you for giving your life for me at the cross so I can be cleansed of all of my sins. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, for more faith in your great love for me. I pray that your will be done in my life today, here on earth. I pray that you will guide me and lead me always to your truth. Save me, Father. Please save me. Do not let me be lost in this life when the time comes. Let me find my name in the book of life and live with you forever and ever when your work with me on earth is done. I pray this, Father, in your most wonderful and lovely name, Jesus. Thank you, Father.